Okay, a couple hours of open lines for you. Paula from Martell, Iowa writes, as you know, on Fridays, it's that consciousness prayer night. A month ago, I asked you to put Officer Tim Davis on your prayer list, as he had been severely beaten in the line of duty. Since then, he has had brain surgery. Yesterday, he was released from the hospital. Tim still has to undergo serious and extensive rehab, but is progressing nicely. The day I sent you the first email, his outlook was grave. I want to thank all of the Coast to Coast listeners for their positive vibes and prayers. How about that? It does work. Anyway, we've got open lines for you, so I shall be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Let's go out to Arizona to get things started with you, Mike. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, George. I want to say that you deserve the Walter Cronkite Award and Edward R. Murrow Award for your journalism with Alex Jones. And it's like the Janet Napolitano said that we're all terrorists if we follow alternative media. And now Sean Hannity is calling himself alternative media, and it's all because Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a spearhead of alternative media, and I want to commend you for having him on your show.
Well, let me tell you, Mike, it took a while for me to get warmed up to him, but everybody who called, I'm going to tell you who should be thanked, Coast to Coast listeners, because they sent me emails telling me about Alex Jones way before I even knew he existed, Mike, way before. And after I started talking to him, I said, you know what? The guy makes sense. I mean, he's a bulldog, and he's got emotion. Whoa, does he have emotion? But he makes a lot of sense, and he makes us think. And I'm glad you appreciate it, Mike.
Well, thanks, George. You are a true American, and I respect your Egyptian heritage.
Well, you got it. Lebanese, actually. Father was born in Cairo. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Roger, you're up with us. Hi there.
Yes. Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm sorry that I missed the guest, Mark, but I had a question about Star Trek that I was hoping you might be able to answer.
Oh, that you now you're taking a chance, but let's see.
Okay. William Shatner was apparently always hard to work with.
Yes, that's true.
Difficult. And my question is, how was he difficult? And when it finally came to the movies and all, was he still difficult to work with? And I'll listen off the air if you don't mind.
I believe, based on the things I've been told, that he was just a tough person to deal with. Very demanding. You know, that happens with a lot of people who reach that kind of stardom. But some of his coworkers felt that he was just a little too strong, a little too heavy. I had him on the program. I found him to be delightful. And, you know, we had fun. We really did. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
How dare you, Mr. Norrie? I cannot keep my silence any longer listening to this pathetic parade.
JC!
Yes!
I thought you had joined the hereafter.
No, this is God's 10-star general, and I'm broadcasting live from the search for Edna. And I'll tell you what, I've been up and down this great nation, and I'm hot on her trail. I followed her all the way to Pahrump, Nevada, and I'll tell you what, I've been looking high and I've been looking low, and I'll tell you low, more low than high, I'll tell you that much. But I'm going to get back to the subject at hand, this pathetic parade of nonsensical nonsense you have on science fiction. What are you trying to do to America? You want to create another generation of 40-year-old men that sit in their basement and pick to their nose and comb their hairs over to the side watching fantasy?
Where have you been?
I have been. I am hot on the trail of Edna. I have almost found her. I'm very, very close. I had some word. I had some
she
insight.
Does
she
not
working.
Want to come back to you, JC.
She was working at some establishments in Pahrump, Nevada, and I had word there, so I went and did some investigation. She does. She wants to come back. She just doesn't know it. Like all women, she has a weak will and needs to be taken command
she
of.
She ran off with the biker and will not be back.
She ran off with the biker and then hooked up with a trucker. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Norrie, listen, this is another thing
calm down,
wrong
JC.
With Star
you
Trek.
Calm down. You're going to stroke out on me.
I am not going to have a stroke because God keeps me alive by his divine might. Because, you know, I am God's 10-star general. And I want to say to all these pathetic people out there who love this science fiction nonsensical nonsense. And William Shatner, if anyone is close to the he is. Can't stand him.
JC, we've missed you.
Missed me?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I've been busy.
How was your Christmas? How were your holidays? JC?
This is me.
Don't you say anything pleasant and nice?
Of course I do. I'm talking about the love of the Lord. I'm not talking about disgustation like you were bringing up your ways. I'm talking about God's wrath, destroying the wicked to ruin this world and take it over and put out lies. People will believe anything if they'll sit for 2 hours watching movies.
I happen to know for a fact that you are a practicing Satanist.
How dare you, sir, to insinuate such insinuation?
That's what I've been told. That's what I've been told.
Because you're talking to the devil, that's why you who ought to know, Mr. Criminal Crime Lord. And listen, I don't have to take this kind of abuse from people like you who tell me that I'm a Satanist. I am God's 10-star general. God has charged me in the war against media pornography and pornography of all kinds. And I've said it once, I'll say it again, Star Trek is pornographic, and I will not tolerate such pornography on my television. There's food porn to be attacked. There's all kinds of things to be taken care of. And I'm telling you what, I am so glad to see God's wrath finally coming down on this world with this, what is it, the bird flu that's coming out?
There is no bird flu. It's small, swine flu.
It's going to be glorious. All the sinners are going to be dropping in the streets. I just can't wait.
See, you are the product of the devil, JC. Why don't you laugh like one? Laugh like the devil. Go on. Go ahead. Chuckle. Just let me hear you.
I do not laugh because laughter is the devil's wickedness. Listen, there is no laughter in church. You go to a church where there's laughter, you know you've got the devil on your back. And I'm telling you, I'm here to rebuke you and all of your listeners.
JC?
And they can email me at boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com tell me how they feel, and I'll tell them exactly where they're going to go, which is the boiling pits of sewage, straight down to hell where they all belong.
JC, go take your blood pressure pill and relax. Man, he's been away a long time, but hasn't changed. That's JC, by the way. To those of you who are brand new to the program, I have no idea where he's been. Liverpool, New York, east of the Rockies. Jeff, you got a tough act to follow, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. Boy, I'm partly glad he came on. And
jeez.
I don't know how to follow him, though.
I actually believed he passed on. I mean, I had no idea where he had been.
I was waiting for him, too. I got two comments. One, I know the answer to that question about the earlier caller called about. She was trying to remember the name of the episode. You know, coincidentally, it aired this past Wednesday or Thursday night on the Chiller Channel on cable.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. It's called Personal Demons, and it was the 80s incarnation of Twilight Zone.
Okay.
And the way she described it, it's very clear.
That's the one about the writer, right?
Yeah, he's typing away. I caught the tail end of it. He's typing away at his typewriter, and these dark hooded figures come in, and they look sort of like gray aliens almost. I mean, like aged humans almost looking like gray aliens. You start to wonder. But, it's just the way she said it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you remembered that.
The other thing I wanted to mention was if you look carefully at the in the Wizard of Oz, the myth about the hanging munchkin.
I mean, you do see something fall, right?
Yeah, it's not something falling. I had seen a show where they explored these different myths. It's a bird in the background, and it's the shadow enlarged.
A bird?
Yeah, take a look at it.
I mean, a real bird or some kind of prop?
Yeah, it must have been a bird, you know, caged in the background on the set.
And he got out or something?
Huh,
okay.
I'll look at it. Beak and fluttering, yeah.
I mean, you can clearly see something falling from the back as they're, you know, trolloping on away.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, yep, have a good weekend.
You got it. Next up, let's go to West Los Angeles. Hello, Rosie, it's your turn.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Well, before I get to my question, I wanted to tell you that I have a friend who lives in Santa Rosa, and, you know, she works as a hospital in the hospital as a medical transcriber, and she used to have trouble sleeping, and she used to listen, or she does listen to you, and she used to listen to Art Bell as opposed to maybe people like Michael Savage or Mike Gallagher or anybody, because you guys, even though you have guests that talk about predicting earthquakes and stuff, you guys don't yell and scream, so you guys help her to fall asleep.
No, we're not like JC.
No, oh, God. She wouldn't be able to. She probably woke up after hearing him.
You know, his veins in his forehead must have been busting out.
He should be on Michael Savage's show as a guest. Well, anyway, I didn't get a chance to talk to your guest because, you know, the lines were busy, but I was wondering if you might. Have you ever heard the Twilight Zone radio dramas?
Yes.
They are very good.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we used to play them in my St. Louis days at KTRS, our affiliate now.
Yeah, and KFI used to play them, but then unfortunately, I'm sorry I have to say this, KFI had to bring back you, Art Bell, and I was really more interested in hearing the Twilight Zone.
No.
But anyway, at least I've got XM satellite radio, and I can hear it on there, and then KFMB in San Diego, I can get that pretty good at night. So they carry the Twilight Zone radio dramas, and I was able to get a few CDs.
What did you like about the Twilight Zone, Rosie?
Oh, gosh. There were some that were it's either all right or it's very good. I mean, it's not in between, but my favorite ones are To Serve Man.
That's one of mine.
And then the one about Willoughby.
I love that, too, about
the
funeral parlor.
And my name is Talking Tina, and I love you very much or something.
You sound just like her.
Oh, my name is Talking Tina, and I'm going to kill you with the swine flu.
Telly Savalas was in that one. Thanks, Rosie. Thanks a lot. Santa Cruz we go. First-time caller. Joe?
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to say that about the baby boomers. The baby boomers are born between 1946 to the first 6 months of 64. And
and then we went into the next generation. And
There's different generations. The 1950s is actually 49 to 59. And that's by nature's law.
I'm a baby boomer.
Oh, me too.
1950 for me.
59. I'm a 59er.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, you came in toward the end.
Yeah. I was born in March 59. And the 40s is 38 to 48.
All right. Joe, thank you
so
for this calendar.
Like on, every 22 years.
Do you see a change at all between these generations?
The changes are, I would say, more people are...
I think they're smarter than we were.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, kids are unbelievable. Kids are so technologically advanced now, it is incredible. You give them an iPhone, take me a while to figure it out. I mean, I just got to know my BlackBerry, for example. But man, these kids, you give it to them, they've got it all down to a science. Let's go to our wild card line. Liza, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George.
Hi.
How are you?
You're Liza Fly.
Yes.
We played one of your emerging songs Sunday.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
Did you have fun listening to yourself?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And did you get any response?
I did. I ended up getting about 27,000 hits on my website over the past 3 days.
That's fantastic.
Yes, thank you very much.
So tell me a little bit about your music, and how long have you been doing this?
Oh, I've been writing songs for a long time. I've been writing songs for about 18 years, and I just got the chance a few years ago to record a CD. I started making demos, and we liked it, and we put a picture on the front, and now we're marketing it.
Well, good for you, and good luck to you. And, you can always tell people you are on 521 radio stations all around North America. And
I have been telling people that, actually.
And you deserve it, and so many other people did, too, and I'm just glad we're doing this. It's fun.
Well, George, thank you so much, not only for myself, but for all the musicians that you've had on and are going to have on. It's really it's a difficult thing, and it's really nice for someone in your position to put a hand out and help us.
There are
really
a lot of creative people out there, Liza. It is amazing, isn't it?
There are. This city in particular is rich with creative people, musicians especially.
And where are you exactly?
I'm in Calabasas.
Calabasas. You're in the California area.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks, Liza, and good luck to you.
Thanks, George.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We're not quite American Idol, but at least everybody wins when they get their little cuts. Tom's office, by the way, is inundated with CDs from emerging artists. They keep coming in by the buckets. And, I mean, he's a department of one. And he's going through these. He's picking out the songs. And he's doing a great job doing that. And we expanded it. The first week we used four. Then I think we used seven on the next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of every month. We might have to do it, Tom, for the whole show, you know, if this keeps up, because, you know, we're never going to see you again. You're going to get buried in. I mean, and we don't have that kind of storage capacity. They just keep coming. It's almost like letters to Santa, almost. They just keep coming. Let's go to Somersworth, New Hampshire. Jacob, good morning, Jacob.
George, how you doing?
Great.
I was just calling in. I wanted to talk about 2012.
Sure.
There were some things that I was observing. As we get closer to 2012, there seems to be more people awakening to this, you know, this feeling that something big is going to happen.
They don't know quite what, but
right.
It is going to be big.
Right. Whether you look at it as a religious way or a natural way, I think something big is going to happen, because we know that there's going to be that planetary alignment. And at the same time, there's scientists that are saying that the Earth is due for a pole shift.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also saying that the sun is due for a pole shift.
Right.
And I think that's maybe why we're not seeing so many sunspots.
Well, John Major Jenkins talks about a galactic alignment with the sun in the middle of the Milky Way. NASA denies the alignment. Richard C. Hoagland, of course, our science advisor, is a consulting producer for an NBC sci-fi special on 2012 that'll be on in November. I just got done getting interviewed by NBC a couple days ago. It'll be on the Sci-Fi Channel, though.
Oh, really?
And lots of different theories, Jacob, about 2012. I mean, the producer asked me all these different scenarios, and all of them are possible, including nothing will happen.
Right,
but,
I've heard that.
But you know what? My gut tells me something will happen, and it's related to the sun.
Yes, and also the vibrations and frequencies. They're saying Earth's resonance level has been steadily rising since the so-called awakening in 98 when
That's
people
true.
Started to open up. And I think it has a lot to do with the vibrations, our brain waves. When we're sleeping and we're in that state, our brain waves are vibrating at a much higher frequency. And this allows us to slip in, you know, out of our body into the astral where we're dreaming. And a lot of people think that the resonance level is going to increase to a point in 2012 when it passes into the fourth density or the fourth awareness.
You give me your quick gut feeling what you think is going to happen during that time period.
I think that there's going to be just one big awakening in consciousness. I think it's going to climax in 2012, and that people who have their aura vibrating at the frequency that matches the fourth density, that's where they'll exist.
Theory is just as good, Jacob, as any I've heard so far. I'll be back in a moment with more open lines. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back. Boy, I remember when I was about 6 years old, the neighborhood kids would shoot me with their squirt guns. And I'd run home crying all the time. Well, hey, I was 6 years old, for crying out loud. And, you know, Mother's Day coming up Sunday is a story I always remember. And so I'd always come home crying. They'd always shoot me with their squirt gun, and I didn't have one. And so my mom said, you know what, just invite them over here one day. Georgie is, that's what she used to call me. And I said, why? I don't like them. And she said, nah, just invite them all over. And and so these three kids came over, and keep in mind, almost every day in the summer, they would shoot me with their squirt guns. And so I invited them up to the house, and they all came up. She comes running out with a bucket of water and doused all of them. And the kids never shot me with their squirt gun again. That's mom for you. Huh? enjoy your Mother's Day with your mother, if she's still alive. And if she's not, of course, remember the memories. I'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with open lines. But first, a traditional thank you to all of you listening to us on your favorite radio stations across North America. 523 strong now and growing. Second highest program for radio station listeners and radio stations in the country. We've got 523 affiliates now. Thank you so much. StreamLink members, thank you for everything you do and your support of Coast to Coast, XM Satellite, and then, of course, the various chat rooms you hear me mention quite a bit, the NighthawkZone.com folks. They're always taking new members, Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC. They're looking for new members, MySpace groups, Yahoo chat rooms, AboveTopSecret.com, great website, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group as well, and so many more. Thanks for making Coast to Coast the highest-rated late-night over program in the world. Here we go, and we're going to start this segment by going to London, Ontario, in Canada, east of the Rockies. Fred, good morning.
Hey, Mr. Norrie, how are you doing?
Good,
today?
Fred. Not bad. How about you?
Pretty good.
Good. Good. What's up?
I wanted to just tell you a little story about how I met my imaginary friend.
Your imaginary friend? How old were you when this happened?
I was about 12.
12. All right. Tell us.
Which is a little odd, I know. However,
not really. Not really. 12's still a kid.
Yeah.
But sometimes kids see things way better than adults.
Sometimes that's true, yeah.
All right. What's the story?
Well, I went down to a place called Kalamazoo, Michigan. All right. First time I'd ever been out of the country with my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on a picnic in one of their parks down there. And, we'd found some little chipmunks.
Little chipmunks?
Yeah, they were really cute. Never seen one before. All right, and, I was sitting there watching these chipmunks, and this 8-foot-tall, no word of a lie, 8-foot-tall giraffe walking up.
Come on, Fred.
I'm not kidding you. An 8-foot-tall giraffe.
Did it escape from a zoo down there or something?
No. No. Nobody else could apparently see this. Well, she introduced me to my imaginary friend, right? And his name was Get'em.
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 Okay.
An 8-foot Bengal tiger.
That's a pretty big tiger.
Yeah, about 1,000 pounds.
Could you see him?
Oh, yeah.
You were the only one. And I assume, was the giraffe imaginary, too, or was that real?
I think he was imaginary.
Okay.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
No? Huh? She could talk.
All right.
So, had to have been imaginary.
Well, you never know.
Well, she introduced herself as Shibuzi and said to me that she had a wonderful friend that I would love to meet. And she introduced me to Get'em.
I have my granddaughter sees an imaginary friend called Shibuzi.
No way.
I swear to God.
No way.
Yep.
What does Shibuzi look like?
Well, she calls her an imaginary friend. Well, she doesn't think she's imaginary, but we call it imaginary. But it's a little girl, and one day she was so upset with my daughter, her mother, because she claimed that she was sitting on her, on a chair.
Oh.
And she told my daughter, get up, you're sitting on Shibuzi. And she would have the little girl now, she was about 3 at the time, would make her mother serve a plate and put food on it at an empty table, an empty chair.
Well, isn't that interesting? That is amazing.
Yeah. And, you're the only other person I've ever heard mention that name.
Wow. Well, She wore a nice, funny little hat, like a flowery type thing, like an Easter bonnet.
This is one heck of an imaginary friend. And this was it? Ever see them again after that?
I've never seen Shibuzi again. However, my imaginary friend comes around once in a while.
Even at this age?
Yeah.
Maybe
you like to see how I'm doing?
Maybe it's not imaginary, Fred. Okay, thanks. Shibuzi. Jackie. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hi. I want to wanted to say regarding this 2012 thing that it seems, first of all, I've looked at to see where the planets are on that day and that time period, and there is no alignment of planets.
Well, that's what NASA says.
Well, you know, you just need to look at an ephemeris for 2012.
Now, what about the sun and
Now, I spoke with a fairly well-known, respected astronomer, and regarding the sun and the placement within the middle of the galaxy, and he said there's nothing happening that's significant about it. I got the impression that it was not in the middle of the galaxy at the time, or that it already has been for some time, but that there was nothing unusual about where it's going to be in relation to the galaxy. And then the thing that I keep thinking is, wouldn't it be kind of odd that this occurrence would occur on the last day of our calendar year? The chances that it would so neatly happen on the last day of a calendar year, it's not even saying December, they're saying December 31st.
21st.
That would
21st.
Make sense. 20, what was that?
21st.
They are saying 21st.
21st, yeah.
Okay, I got that wrong. I was going to say, for it to happen at the end of the calendar year, if they stop making the calendars, they would sort of just end it.
No,
the 21st, end of the year.
It's a winter solstice.
I got that wrong. Okay. Well, I don't know. The thing about the alignment of planets is definitely wrong. You can check it. The other thing I want to say is, there was JC again, but I know Edna called in, I don't know, like a year and a half ago. Has she called in since?
She has not called in since she took off. Somebody who called claiming to be his cousin, JC's cousin, called us 6 months ago. But Edna has not checked in with us. She used to email us all the time.
But wasn't she in Woodstock or something? She spoke to Art like a year and a half ago.
She was with the biker, though, wasn't she?
No, she called from Woodstock saying she heard JC was looking after her.
Yep. I remember it. I don't know if that was her, but I do remember the call.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay. Next up, let's go to Hollywood, California. Alex. Pretty name. Hi there.
Thank you. It's Alex. And the way I get people to remember it these days is that aliens eat humans, Lex. it's spelled A-E-H-L-E-X, and no one's ever... I had to create spelling.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I actually called I want to tell you guys a story, and I wanted to kind of dispute what the guy said about the Wizard of Oz, because I saw it myself.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I totally watched it, and I swear I saw... It looked like I can't say a little person, but it was the size of a little person,
yep,
run across the branch, jump down, and twitch like it was hanging.
Yes, you could see almost the rope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he was talking about, unless someone digitally tried to do something later on. Because the footage that I saw, I was lucky to get an old tape before they really start doing stuff to it.
And Dorothy, the lion, and the scarecrow just kept dancing along the yellow brick road.
Yeah, they just went right under the tree off on. It was great.
While this thing's hanging.
Yeah, it's incredible. But it looked like they just could only blur out on the tape that I watched.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. So anyway, I called in a while back about the woman that I met, the hybrid woman with no white around her eyes. You remember that?
I remember that.
Okay. So I was working at this New Age bookstore in Venice at the time that all these things were happening, and I seemed to attract these, let's just say, weird people. And anyway, one night, I've been wanting to call and tell you this, but one night I was coming home around 10 o'clock at night, and I saw this guy standing on the corner of where I live, and he looked really suspicious to me. He was just standing there, like, waiting for someone, but I'd never seen him before, and you already know it's coming. And I was just like, whatever. So, I'm watching him because he's right in front of my house. So as soon as I get to the corner, our eyes, like, locked onto each other. And my first thought, now, this is how weird I am. My first thought was, oh, look, there's a demon. Well, now, he had these eyes that were, like, glowing green, like kryptonite glowing green. I thought I was in a movie all of a sudden. And because I've been working at this store for about a year already, it was, like, no big deal. It was almost kind of like, oh, look, here we go again. So I just turned left and busted a U and started to park kind of right in front of him. And all of a sudden I heard this loud male voice who always seems to show up whenever I'm in danger and hasn't for like 10 years. So luckily I've been really, my life's been really cool. But he tells me he's waiting for you. And I remember my response was, what? I don't know that guy. I don't care who he's waiting for. I'm tired. I'm going home. And I started to turn my car off. And right at that moment, I mean, this guy never took his eyes off of me.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Time. Yeah, and he started coming towards me really, really fast. And I've never seen anyone move that fast, like any human move that fast. And I just started shaking incredibly. It was ridiculous. And I've never been so scared in my life. So I finally just put my car in reverse and took off and went over to my friend's house.
And did he leave eventually? He must have.
I went back 2 hours later by myself, my keys shaking in my hand, and I got in the door. He wasn't around, so, you know, he took off.
God, you must have been looking over your shoulder.
Oh, it was the scariest moment of my life. I mean, I can't even believe I went back there that night by myself. I was really tired, though, and I really wanted to go home. But I had so many interesting things like that happen when I worked there that it just became kind of like second nature. So anyway, I hope everyone remembers how to spell my name because they can find me and all my stories online really easily. And I just want to share this stuff with everybody.
All right. Well, it's scary times. The scary times are when you're driving your car and you think someone is in the back seat. That's weird. Let's go to New Orleans. George, thanks for holding, George.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
Thank you, George. I'm another Georgie. My mama called me Georgie all the way until the day she died.
Did the kids sing that wretched song, Georgie
and
Porgie?
God. Did they ever?
I know.
And Georgie the Jungle, Watch Out for the Tree.
Uh-huh. I get that, too.
I got it all. But I wanted to give you an update. I called you about a month ago when I attended the Laughlin Convention. And I told you about orbs that I was filming on my camera. Well, I just came back from California and in Vegas area. And I got more than I bargained for. I went down there to a diabetic clinic. And, you know, at the clinic, I met some people who looked at these pictures that I had. And right off the bat, they said, oh, that's spirits. And, you know, I kind of took a double take, and she went, and we went to the bookstore, and we looked at some books, and that's what they were all about, supposedly spirits. And she said she'd been seeing them since she was 13 years old.
What were the pictures you were taking?
I was taking pictures in my hotel room, outside the hotel room, in the clinic, just everywhere at first. And then on the second leg of the trip, when I rented a car and went to Vegas, I met up with Ron, my roommate at the Laughlin Convention, and we got together and we went on our own, and we went, you know, to the Vegas Strip, of course.
Now, do these happen though, George, only with this camera or other cameras?
Well, it happens with my camera when I'm taking flash. I got a Nikon P50.
That's pretty good. That's a good good setup.
Yeah, and now Ron had his camera, and he wasn't getting them with his camera, but he was set at a certain ASA. He was set at 100 ASA.
All right, you're shooting film or digital?
Digital.
All right.
I shot some film as well, but I haven't gotten it back yet.
All right, I'd be interested to see if you've got orbs on the film.
Yeah, I am too.
Well, you might want to take your digital prints in if you have them as prints. And show them to the a photographic shop and just say, what do you think these are? Now, they may say it's a flash reflection, but I'd take it in and have that checked first.
These are not, I guarantee you. I'm gonna send you some more photos. I don't know if you saw the last one.
Yes, I did.
I'm going to send you some more, and you tell me what you think they are.
But they're not around certain people or anything like that, which is weird.
Yeah, I'm getting them by the hundreds now. It used to be, and I got them over the Strip in Vegas.
And they're all over the place. Well, yeah, but you've got a lot of lights in Vegas, too. So, you know, could be distortion. But, you got to rule that out first.
Yeah, only with the flash do I get them, and these things don't show up. Like, the little flash on the camera can't possibly stretch out to the sky.
No.
You know, it has a limited range, and these things are showing up bright, you know, real bright, and I mean by the hundreds.
Okay, well, keep sending them to us.
I will.
All right, thanks, George. Next up, let's go to Peter on Coast to Coast. No, we'll go to David first in Pasadena. He's been holding. Hey, David.
Hey, George. It's good to talk to you.
Sure thing.
You've been so gracious tonight. I'm almost afraid to ask if I can go over this with you, but I'll take a shot at it because I'm bringing out a white paper in healthcare, and I know you're serious about that. If you've got an interest in this, we'll talk about it now. Mm-hmm. If not, I'd like to just ask that if I send it to you, that you please give me a serious look at it and get back to me with your comments.
Sure, that's fair too. Give me a highlight.
All right. I'm a physician who, because of my military experience as a kid, got the cart before the horse and found myself with some unusual experience and accidentally saved a small community hospital that was under investigation for fraud about 25 years ago.
Okay.
It was based on my approach to practice that, from my perspective, I'd just finished med school. I was on my way to residency in internal medicine in a rural place, and I woke up 3 years later to be told that I had saved the hospital from paying millions and millions of dollars in fraud, and I had cut the cost of care by 40% on an annual basis, and I'd increased the bottom line while the FBI and the Justice Department were in there because of the quality of the documentation. What came out of that was this. We are trained as physicians not to practice medicine in the traditional sense that everybody believes. We're trained to provide what the manufacturers have made available because we don't make drugs, we don't
right.
make instruments and so on and so forth.
You just prescribe.
Right. So we get trained in whatever's available then, but then since 1965 and this huge increase through the 50s after World War II, and there was all this laboratory stuff. You guys were talking about NASA being a very positive influence in providing instrumentation and so on and so forth. It really does. But in 1965, when the Great Society stuff was put in place, so much entitlement took medicine and made it into the biggest industry in history. And there were so many people lining up to take advantage of that by 1975, it was broke. They refurbished it very quietly by the end of the Vietnam War, but it was mostly IOUs.
And this paper you've written, is this to correct the
yes.
ills in our system?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you do this for me? When is it ready to be sent?
I can send a draft to you tonight.
If you would do that, because I'm going to be here in L.A. for one more week and then back to St. Louis. I'm going to my mother's birthday in Detroit, and then I've got a remote broadcast at GM's OnStar studio the end of May. So if you would do that, I'll look at it while I'm here, and then I'll be right back.